Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. So Lisa Goranson has played Becky since the days of Roseanne back in 1988 and continues that role on The Conners on ABC, which is now in its fourth season. And joining us live in studio for the very first time is my friend, the lovely and talented Lisa Goranson. Look at you. You're here.
Hi, Dave. I'm here. I made it.
Hello. Back in Chicago, your hometown.
Yes, indeed. Ooh. And what a beautiful view.
I wish, though, that there was a Cubs team that was less painful to watch while you're in town.
Oh,
it's hard right now. I mean, you're a Cubs fan. I'm a Cubs fan. We're going to go to games. We're going to enjoy the experience. But it's tough to watch the game itself.
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to see Cubs Nationals because my friend from Evanston lives in D.C.
Nice.
And I was barreling down there on the train. And that's when they let go of Javi.
Yeah.
And Chris Bryant and Rizzo. And it was like, what am I going into? That's what I felt. And and to make it worse, two of the three of them landed in New York.
Yes.
So, which is where I live for the majority of the time. And to see the back of the neighborhood rags.
Well, seeing,
and seeing like Javi. And I mean, Javi is my favorite player. So that really killed me. But I was just going there and I was like, what am I going to see in DC? Who am I going to see? And then, you know, fortunately, as we're wont to do, we Chicago sports fans, there was a big group that was ready to, you know, give me a hug and say, what are we doing? Where are we? Who are we?
It's like you had to wear black that Friday.
Kind of. Well, I wore, you know, royal blue. But
You know, here's the thing, though. Like the lineup, when you look at the lineup, you don't recognize half the people. But they're saying that like in the off season, when they're kind of out of their contracts, that Bryant could be coming back. It's a possibility.
I was actually surprised because he was a name that's been talked about for years about potentially trading him. And the emotion that he's shown, you know, getting traded. I mean, I just wonder what that must be like. It's like, you know, if I got a call and it's like, Lisa, you're being traded to, you know, the neighborhood, or you're being traded to This Is Us or something. Yeah. I'd be like, what? But what about my family?
It happens tomorrow. You're leaving tomorrow. Like, there's no time. Like,
I know.
And that was the crazy part.
And he just, like, you saw him take that call. And, I mean, it was so moving and sad for all of us. I mean, my friends' kids were crying. Yeah. And we were all, you know, how are you doing? And, like, how are you holding up? Yeah. And,
Like, can we still wear the jerseys, though? Can we still wear? Aww. I'm like,
Well, they don't know what it's like to be a long-suffering Cubs fan.
They
know what a World Series is. I mean, not just a World Series.
My youngest was four when they won the World Series. So all he knows is winning Cubs.
Downhill.
Yeah, exactly. So for the Bears, though, you told me once that you go to a Bears bar to watch the games. Is that New York or in L.A. or both?
I have a Brooklyn location, which is called Canal Bar. All you people going to New York, if you need a place to go, Canal Bar in Brooklyn. Okay. It's in the Gowanus area. And then in L.A., our bar is called the Escondite.
I love that.
And we all met there last Sunday before going to the first Rams game at their new stadium, SoFi. Oh, yeah, of course. Hello.
Good. Hello,
David. Hello. My name is Lisa.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, I went with my crew.
That's great.
And it's so strange how you can have a good time when things go so wrong for us.
Yeah.
You know, but it was still, you know, I was with my Chicago guys. That's the best place to be. What was funny is getting to my seat, because part of it is just, you know, you have all this anticipation. There's all this, you know, construction that happened, whatever. They put $5 billion into the stadium. And then you're going there and the people who are just starting are really confused. So I was thinking, am I going to get to my seat? Am I ever going to make it to my seat? Because they were like, go up the stairs, go down the stairs, go through the club. You can't get in the club. You need an armband to get into the VIP section, which you can't. And I'm like, where? I just want to get to my seat.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But what was so cool is I landed at my seat. And behind me was this woman who went to Northwestern. Oh. She was an entertainment lawyer, big Cubs fan, unfortunately also big Rams fan. I know. But she was cool.
She was all right with it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good. So I got to have lunch with you and your dad earlier in the summer at one of your favorite places. But even though you shoot the Conners in L.A., you try to spend your summer in long stretches on the East Coast. So what are some of your summer highlights? Like, what did you do this summer?
Oh my gosh. I think because of COVID that we had such a long stretch of, you know, for me, not seeing my loved ones, yeah, my friends. And I've lived in New York since 1996, and I went to college upstate New York. So Technically I've been in New York since 1992. A big focus was kind of taking local trips. Like, I went to DC to see the Cubs and my friend. I went to Maine and stayed at a tree house with two of my best friends,
cool,
which was so great. Maine is beautiful. And then I went to Philly and just hung out in Philly. I took the train a lot. And I just, you know, the great thing, I mean, it's so different in California where I was quarantined and whatever, but I love kind of zipping around. You know, you can go to all these great cities in the East Coast very easily.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And it was just spent some time in New York and just, you know.
I lived the mid-90s. I lived in upstate New York. And I would take the train to Boston. I loved going to Vermont in the fall.
Oh,
and just driving through, not even knowing where you're going, or New Hampshire or Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island. It's just a beautiful place, especially this time of year.
Yeah, I went to, you know, Vassar, which is in Poughkeepsie in the Hudson Valley. Yeah. And that, you know, I was on the rugby team, and I just remember running in my, you know, collegiate rugby gear, and just like deer running past me in the leaves. And it was just like, am I in a J. Crew ad, or is this my life?
Yeah, you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
Until I got tackled and my face was in the mud, and then, you know, reality set
in. Sports then.
Yeah,
I mean, then you were diving into that. But like, when you went to school up there, now, is this the time when you kind of took some time off when you were on Roseanne and you decided to go to school? So what made you say, look, I'm going to, it's amazing that they allowed you to do that and come back in and out, which is so cool.
Yeah.
But you say, look, I got to have an education out of this. So I'm going to go do this for a little while. We'll see you now and then.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Like, as much as I love being an actor, I also love reading, and I'm a little nerdy. Well, okay, a lot nerdy.
Okay.
And so I missed, you know, not only engaging in kind of academia, but also just being around my peers, because, I mean, I don't think there was, you know, apart from Sarah Gilbert, there was no one my age around.
Yeah.
And so I really craved kind of the social, you know, I'm an introvert, but I still am alive. And, I was in this adult world where it really wasn't about, you know, the intellect and whatever. And I just, it was always a priority, you know, growing up like very close to Northwestern. Evanston's a very kind of academic place and social place. And I just wanted to kind of figure out who I was, which I think is really what you do in those years, apart from reading a lot of books and, you know.
To recognize that at your age, at that time, that's pretty cool to know what you needed as a human being, you know, and that you would need for the rest of your life.
Well, I think that's a theme that keeps coming up in my life, because I think a lot of people, based on fear or based on whatever it might be, psychologically, that, you know, people hold themselves back, whether it's saying something, vocalizing something that they feel in the workplace or with a friend or in their life, that really is kind of a lost opportunity to really deal with and kind of find who you are and where you want to be. And it's funny that it's like seems risky to do a simple thing like making a decision based on your well-being.
Sure. But and doing that throughout the rest of your life and knowing you have to keep doing that. It's not just that one moment in time. You got to keep rebooting and doing what's right for you along the way.
And it's difficult every time. Yeah. I mean, it's never easy. You know, I think there are different gradations, but I think ultimately it's always a challenge to be authentic. You know, it's scary. Yeah. Am I disappointing people? And at the time, I felt sad. I mean, one of the really interesting kind of karmic things about being back on the show is being back with these people that I love, a lot of whom I worked with in the 80s and 90s.
That's what I was going to ask you, not just the actors, but is a lot of the stage people, a lot of the people behind the scenes, some of those people too?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
It is, and it really feels like a family. I mean,
surreal a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because John was doing Righteous Gemstones. He was still doing like two more episodes or something when we started shooting, which was, you know, 3 weeks ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't in the first two with us. And like, we really missed him. It was like, you know, our dad was gone.
Yeah.
And he came back and it was like, okay, our family member's back. And it's funny how you just kind of fit into place. And a lot of us have been doing that for, you know, what is it, like 30 years now?
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the new season of ABC's The Conners with actress and Chicago's own Lisa Goranson, live in studio here on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking to Lisa Goranson live in studio about the new season of ABC's The Conners. So Roseanne debuted, you said 30 years ago, 33 years ago, which is crazy. And not many people can say that they were able to come back and revisit a character they developed that long ago. But you're literally going back in time. And I can't tell you how many people would love to be in that moment of their lives again. And that's kind of what you were able to do. And the whole cast.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a rarity to have that continuity as an actor where you have that family for so many years. Yeah. It makes it really authentic. And I just think it's interesting what's been happening for the character, because I think when the show came back that Becky was in a different place, and then to kind of what's been going on the past maybe, you know, four episodes or whatever, is seeing her rekindle who she was and rediscover who she was. And I think that that's, you know, that's what happens when I come back to Chicago and I see my friends and I'm like, oh, I'm that person that says like bad dad jokes and whatever.
That's awesome.
And my friends groan and roll their eyes. That's me. You know
what I mean? Awesome. Yeah, yeah. No,
but it's kind of like feels like that. And like, oh my gosh, this is who Becky is. And, you know, especially when she's like throwing barbs with Darlene.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, you really see they're old. I mean, Sarah and I say this is vintage Becky and Darlene, because we'll just like give each other a couple of shots or whatever.
So is it the same writers or some of this? Because they're really writing this for your same characters, but the writing is really well done. It's so brilliant.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really, really well done. A couple of the writers are showrunner Bruce Helford and another EP, Bruce Rasmussen. They were both on the season, actually, that I left. And I think I came back for a couple few that season, but they were just there that season. And then most of the other writers are new. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
And I hear the word reboot usually they're redoing a movie. I think, God, is Hollywood just that lazy that we can't just come up with something new? Like when I heard The Wonder Years was coming out again, but a whole new family, a whole new whatever, I'm like, well, why don't we just write a different show? But this show is so authentic to the original. It's not even a reboot. It's a revival of the show. And there's very few of those out there that have been able to go, you're four seasons in already.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is the great writing and our cast is, I mean, it's just we have such a great, you know, I mean, you throw something at Lori or John and they can elevate anything, even if with the material already being great, it's a win-win. And
is there ad-libbing involved in this set at all? Is there anyone?
Oh, yeah. Well, John loves, John will throw in some stuff for sure. And
does it make the writers nervous? Because I know in some sets it's like taboo, but
no,
they're good with it.
I think the writers love, when we play with the material, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's part of just kind of being free and being in the moment.
Yeah. But you got to really show off deep acting chops last season. I mean, just with going into rehab, your character and so forth. I just thought, wow, great stuff.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of responses about some of those scenes, particularly the one with me and John, when, you know, Becky's kind of admitting to some of the stuff with her ex-husband and why she kind of took a certain turn, and she really just kind of comes undone. And it's very powerful. I mean, you can feel it, because when we're shooting, it's not like we're in a void. We have, you know, 100 crew members around, and it's really interesting to feel that. It's almost like theater, the immediacy of the reactions. And you know, when you feel people are present, it's very poignant.
But everybody's got their stuff. So even if you don't exactly relate to the situation that was written in the episode, it just kind of makes you feel better that, look, we're all in the same boat and not every life is perfect and we all have our things to deal with in life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting kind of this thing about the popularity of a show like Ted Lasso, which I haven't really watched, but it's like feel good and whatever. But I think people also want to connect on different levels too. I think we need that.
Sure.
And then we also need to go into our grief sometimes mm-hmm. and into all different kinds. I mean, that's my favorite thing about being an actor is knowing that the human capacity for thoughts and feelings is a vast one.
Right,
and
right.
There, it never gets old for me.
Sure.
And just being able to be specific and to feel that, it's like, it really feels like a catharsis.
Now, the season premiere was already earlier this week, and you're already deep into the season. So what are we going to see that's different? Like, what's kind of happening on set that you can actually share?
Well, my favorite thing that's happening, yeah. If you tuned into the final episode of last season, that the lunchbox is now a Bears bar.
I know, I saw that. That's hysterical.
And I have to tell
some
you guys.
Influence. Has to be some influence.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because yeah. My episode that I was my story was about the Bears. It was about the Bears Packers game and how it was just like yes. This huge event.
Yeah, it was.
And then Becky brings a boyfriend in who's a cheesehead.
Right.
And which before then, you know, we weren't licensed to wear any kind of NFL gear or whatever. And I had the premiere of that episode. I did a charity thing at Joe's on Weed.
Yes.
You came.
I was there. Yeah.
And
you're wearing blue and orange, but not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember that. Yeah.
My, you know, everyone was like, what are we going to do? And I said, call Strange Cargo.
Oh.
And I was like,
Strange Cargo. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Right. And I was like, I know what to do. I'm a Chicagoan. Call Strange Cargo. And then it was so sweet because they gave us all of the outfits for that episode. And then they showed up to that event.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they gave me like a couple of shirts and they were like, thank you. And everyone wrote a note. It was so sweet. But now there was a guy from the Bears there too. I guess Bears.com.
Okay.
Who interviewed me. And now I guess we're licensed. I mean, I show up to work, ladies and gentlemen, and I show up to my workplace and I see Bears paraphernalia everywhere. Isn't that
That's
a
amazing.
Win-win Chicago?
Why wouldn't you want to do that? Yeah, why wouldn't you want to actually have the it's great publicity for the Bears too. So happy you came to the studio, by the way. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll
it's
see
good
you soon.
To see you.
Next time in studio, come by.
I will.
Okay. All right. Top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom are next on 720 WGN.